And we'll go ahead and pray, and we'll get into the lesson. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words, and Father, we're just grateful that we have them, and we're grateful that we can come to a place and hear them taught and hear them preached, and we pray, Lord, that you would be our teacher and our guide this morning, and that we would just learn a little bit about how technical you are in your scriptures, and what you're looking for in men. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Now last week we went through the parable of the two rebellious sons in Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 32. And we saw how Jesus, he rebukes the elders and the chief priests and the scribes. And you'll see the Pharisees are here. They're here. And they're here as well. And you'll see that when we read this next parable. But who are the Pharisees that we will read about in the next parable? You ever ask that? Who are the Pharisees? And so, now based on the scriptures, the high priest, and it looks as though the chief priests are made up of Sadducees. And you find that in Acts 5. Acts 5, verse 17. Acts 5, 17. Here's a high priest. Verse 17, then the high priest rose up and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Okay? And so you've got chief priests. They're of the Sadducee sect, the sect of the Sadducees. And so, if this is the case, then the scribes and the elders and the chief priests, they are going to make up the Pharisees and the Sadducees. As when you read the Bible, there is a distinction between chief priests and Pharisees. There is. If you look in Matthew 21:45. Matthew 21:45. We're going to read this parable here. Matthew 21:45. The Bible says that, and when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, but who was Jesus speaking to? The chief priests and the elders. But the scribes are there also, and you find that in Luke 20, verse 1. And so, You don't ever read in the scriptures that there's a distinction between the Sadducees and the chief priests, or the Sadducees and scribes, or the Sadducees and elders. And the Bible says in Matthew 21:23 that the chief priests are here in the temple. And the elders are here in the temple, and that's who Jesus is speaking to. And so you don't see that there's a difference between the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. You don't see that in the Bible, where there's a difference between the two, meaning that they're different people. So it looks like that the Sadducees, they can be scribes, and they can also be elders, and they can also be the chief priests. And so, but there's three groups of people that are asking Jesus a question here. Look in Luke 20, verse 1. We'll see that the scribes are here as well. And the Bible says, and it came to pass on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders. That's the other account here. And so all these three, these groups are here. And so you say, what's the point here? What's the point here? These three groups are asking Jesus about authority, right? And these are the three groups that Jesus is talking to. But the Pharisees are here. So who are they? Who are they? The point here is that because there's no distinction between the Sadducees and chief priests that show that they're different, and or the Sadducees and elders that show that they're different, and you never read that in the Bible, or the scribes or the Sadducees that or the elders that show that they're different. You don't read that between the Sadducees and those groups. And so they could be, those three groups could be Sadducees. Now let's look at the Pharisees, who they could be. In the Bible, the Pharisees and scribes appear to be different. Look, if you would, in Matthew 23, 29. Jesus makes reference to two groups here. 23:29. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. So there is a distinction there that show that they could be different, because Jesus addresses two different groups of people. There's a difference there. And there's also a difference between the chief priests and the Pharisees, as we just read in Matthew 21:45. There's a difference there. He's addressing two groups of people. And so in the Bible, a Pharisee and a scribe appear to be different. And a Pharisee and a chief priest appear to be different. But in the Bible, there doesn't appear to be a distinction that show that a Pharisee and an elder could be different. Because Jesus never addresses those groups as two groups at the same time. He never addresses the elder and the Pharisee. He never does. I don't read it. And maybe it's there and I just glanced over it, but if it's there, show it to me. But I don't see that. However, I do know Jesus is speaking to three groups of people here in Matthew 21, and he's speaking parables to them. And when you do a who is he speaking to, you back up to Matthew chapter 19 or 21, 23, and you see elders, chief priests. Luke 20, you see the scribes are there also. Yet Jesus says to the Pharisees, he says in Matthew 21, 41, that the Pharisees and the chief priests are there. There's the groups of people. You've got Sadducees, Pharisees. I hope everybody sees that here. But what Jesus is doing throughout the Gospels when he's talking to the scribes and he's talking to the Pharisees and he's making a distinction between Sadducees and Pharisees. What Jesus is trying to show you here is that he's talking to the religious leaders of the day. Those were those people. You've got the high priests, you've got chief priests, you've got Pharisees, you've got Sadducees, you've got scribes, and you've got elders, right? Scribes, elders, chief priests make up the Pharisees and Sadducees, the two sects of people. And they don't believe the same things. And so, I hope everyone sees that. Jesus, he just wants us to know who make up the rulership of Israel, and they are the Pharisees and Sadducees. And so, these are the ones that Jesus is rebuking in the two parables. Why? For their lack of submission to authority, whom they question Jesus about. And the thing that the rulerships hold, you're going to see, the things that the rulership hold more dear to themselves than life is this authority. And they'll go straight to hell trying to hold on to it. It'll go straight to hell trying to hold on to it. Hey, the one thing that's going to take a man to hell faster than anything else is authority. Is authority. A man wants to be his own authority. He wants to do everything himself. He wants to get to heaven himself. So authority is the real issue. And I could just imagine Jesus just waiting for these guys to say this, because he devotes, look at how many verses he devotes to this subject. And he's still going. And now he's using parables to rebuke the people that asked him the question. And so, but once a man realizes that he's not the authority and God is the authority, then the man can believe what God is telling them. But a man is not going to believe God if he wants to be the authority. He's not going to believe God. He never will. And so the authority is the issue. And that causes a man whether to believe or not to believe. If a man is in submission to God's authority, he's going to believe what he says. But if he's in submission to his authority, he's not going to believe God. Okay, so once a man does this, then he can believe. One of the reasons why a man doesn't get saved and God gives up on that man is because that person has become his own authority. And what has he done? He's changed. Romans, if you look in Romans, you find that he's changed the truth of God into a lie. Who does that? Somebody who's taking the authority upon themselves. And so that is the issue here. And Jesus is spending a lot of time on it. What Jesus is trying to teach the rulership here is that authority will bring life, or it will bring death. It'll bring destruction. And so because they didn't get the issue of authority, and because they took God's authority and changed it into a lie, what's going to happen? They're going to lose the right that they had to enter into the kingdom of God. They're going to lose the kingdom of God. They're not going to get it. Why? Because they wanted to be the authority. And we're going to see that here. Verse 33 in Matthew chapter 21. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about, and digged a wine press in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. Now, if you got a Common Man's Reference Bible, there is a lot of good footnotes there that'll give you a lot of good references on who these what this parable is talking about here. But before we get into this, let's read again the question posed back to Jesus in Matthew 21:23. And he said unto them, I'm in chapter 20, Matthew 21:23. The Bible says, and when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders, this is the rulership of Israel now, they're all here. The chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him and as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? By what authority doest thou these things? Now, before we get into this, it's important to realize why these priests claimed that they had authority. And they were asking Jesus for proof of his authority. Hey, Jesus could have simply said, I'm God. But they weren't going to believe it. They wanted some documented proof. Why? Because the rulership of Israel could trace. If you're pre-teaching in a temple, you had to be able to trace your lineage, your genealogy, back to your fathers. That's where your authority came from. Came from the Levitical priesthood. And so what they're doing here is they can prove that they have authority to teach in this temple. But they want Jesus to prove it. Show me the proof. You know, you hear the word, show me the money. Show me the proof. And Jesus could have. But it was through the lineage that a chief priest had authority to teach in the temple. And Jesus is here teaching in the temple. Go with me, if you would, to Nehemiah 7, verse 60. Here. Let's see what it says there now. I hope I got the right verse down. Nehemiah 7, 60. Verse 60, all the Nethinimans, whatever. Yeah. What? Okay. Lord, you're going to have to teach me that someday, that word, because I can't pronounce it. Anyway, and the children of Solomon's servants were there 192. And these were they which went up also from Terahasha, Cherub, Adon, and Immer, but they could not show their father's house. You see this? This is the issue here, folks. Nor their seed, whether they were of Israel. The children of Deliah, the children of Tob, the children of Nakoda, 642. Now you wonder why all these names and genealogies are in the Bible. And of the priests, the children of Habbi, the children of Koz, the children of Barzillai, which took one of the daughters of Barzillai, the Gileadite, to wife, and was called after their name. These sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but it was not found. Therefore, were they, as polluted, put from the priesthood. Okay? That's the authority that these guys are looking for from Jesus. That's the issue here. The genealogies are important when dealing with the priesthood. And those that could not trace their lineage back to their fathers could not be a priest, could not be teaching in the temple as Jesus was doing, and could not be doing what Jesus was doing, healing and doing all these other things in the temple. And so when they asked Jesus by what authority he was doing these things, by what authority he was doing in the temple, it wasn't as simple as saying, heaven or man. Jesus asked him a simple question. You tell me this and I'll give you the genealogy. But it wasn't simple. The rulers couldn't even get the simple things. And so how would they have even grasped the lineage of Jesus, where his earthly dad and his mother Mary, how would they even grasp all that lineage and how he tied in and fit into all that? You see that? They would have never, Jesus would have been wasting his time by saying that. So he asked them a simple question and they're not going to answer it, so he doesn't have to tell them. They didn't even see that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah, as prophesied in the Scriptures. And so they would have never gotten the truth about his genealogy. They thought Jesus was born of fornication. That's what they thought. They didn't believe in a virgin birth. How are they going to believe in the lineage of Jesus Christ? How is he going to prove to them that he belonged in the temple? How is he going to prove to them that he had authority? He wasn't. They wouldn't have believed him. Now, answer me this. How could they, that is, the rulers of Israel, have gotten that Jesus was the Messiah when John was baptizing to reveal this to the nation and they didn't submit to his baptism? How are they going to get that revelation from God the Father like Peter did? They're not. He revealed it to Peter, but he didn't reveal it to the leaders. And they didn't get it on their own. Now, it's important to understand this authority business to see why Jesus is going to bring up a parable. He's going to teach them a parable here. And he's going to teach it a parable to rebuke these leaders. And he's going to use their fathers, their genealogy, and he's going to show them how wicked they really were. And they are tracing their lineage back to wicked men teaching in the temple. That's what this next parable is about. Here another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. A householder here would be God the Father. And the reason you know this is because in verse 37, the householder is sending the Son. And I hope we all see that the Son is Jesus here. It's pretty simple to figure this one out. And again, this parable is designed to retrieve a response from the listeners. And this response that comes from the listeners will condemn those that give the response. Now, this shows you how a blind person is really truly blind to their sin. I mean, and when presented with what a person or group of people sin is, the people that it's pointing at, they don't even realize that it's themselves. And they condemn themselves. Okay? They don't even realize that they're the culprits. Every parable, folks, has a definite, specific meaning. And each thing in that parable has a specific a meaning. Like, the field is the world. Remember that parable? And then you got the seed is the word. Very specific. Very, very specific. Fowls are the devils. They lodge it in the branches. Okay? And so, and so on. So, parables are specific whether or not Jesus interprets it for you. Right? They're specific. And so, within the context of the Bible, you're going to find who the householder is. And within the contents of the Bible, you're going to find out who the vineyard represents. And it represents Israel. God, the householder is God the Father. And you're going to find out what this hedge represents. It's a protection. Hedge of protection. Okay? And remember Job. He was hedged about. The devil was complaining to God that God had put a hedge around him so that he couldn't touch him. And so God lifts the hedge partially, but he doesn't lift it completely because Job, the devil can't kill Job. So there's still a hedge there. And you look at the nation of Israel, hey, devil's getting them. But have they all died? No. Israel's not going to die forever. The devil can't kill them. They just keep going on and on and on and on and on. And so Job is a picture of the nation of Israel. And he's a picture of the nation of Israel in the tribulation. Look at all the tribulation Job went through. And look at all the things that Israel is going to go through. And are they going to die? God's going to save a remnant. He's going to save a remnant. And then they're going to flourish and get everything back in the millennium. Just like Job got everything back. Okay? And so the wine press is for work. The wine press is for work. And the tower is for watching. And the reason why God gave the nation kings and princes and the leadership that he did was to watch over the nation of Israel. And so every time the Lord deals with a nation, he deals with the rulers, the princes, the priests of Israel. Now this far country would probably be heaven if I had to guess. I don't know for sure. But, I mean, if you're going to go far away, heaven would be the first place that you could think of if the householder's God the Father, okay? Verse 34. Matthew 21:34. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits of it. Now, when Israel, what is this time of the the time of the fruit drew near. When Israel should have repented, okay, this is when Israel had gotten away from God under the kings and under the Old Testament. God turned Israel, when they got away, over to their enemies. Okay? And so what does God do? He sends His servants. And He sends them servants of prophets. You see that Amos, the pastor's got the Amos reference there. My servants, the prophets. God sent prophets to the nation of Israel. Why? To preach to them. To preach to them, to show them that they were wrong, they were in sin. Why? So they would repent. And they didn't repent. That's the time of this fruit. What did John the Baptist preach? He preached, bring forth fruit, meet for repentance. And so, had the rulers been doing their jobs, teaching the right things in the temple to the people, then when the prophets showed up, the nation of Israel would have repented. They would have repented. But the leaders were corrupt. And the leaders are a representation of the people who are corrupt. And so when God shows up, they don't repent. Or when He shows up in the authority of the prophets. And they, what do they do? The Bible says in verse 35, they beat one. 1 Kings 22:24. There's a guy here named Zedekiah. 1 Kings 24. Samuel for 2 Kings. 1 Kings 22:24. They beat one. The Bible says, but Zedekiah the son of Kenaniah went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the spirit of thee of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? Okay? And Zedekiah was a king in Israel whose original name was Mattaniah, and you find that in 2 Kings 14:17. And under the Babylonians, they changed his name. And I don't know if he was a priest, but I do know he was a Levite. He was of the Levitical people there. So he was a Levite, and he did do some things in the temple. He prayed and did some other things. But his name was changed by the king of Babylon when Judah was captured. And the Bible says, Matthew 21, he killed another. Verse 35, he killed another. You find that in Jeremiah 26. Jeremiah 26. Killed another. 26:23. And they fetched forth Uriah out of Egypt and brought him unto Jehoiakim, the king. Oh, it's Jehoiakim. I'm sorry, not Jeconiah. Jehoiakim. The king who slew him with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. Nevertheless, the hand of Jehoiakim, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death. And so here's another one, whose name was originally Eliakim. You find that in 2 Kings 23:34, and he was a priest. And you find that in Nehemiah 12:14. So here's a priest killing somebody, killing one of the prophets, and another stoned another. 2 Chronicles 24:21. Notice that the princes of Judah in that passage did the stoning. The princes. These are the rulership of Israel. The leaders did the stoning. Go back, if you would, to Matthew. Matthew 21, verses 36. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto him likewise. This is their lineage, the rulers of Israel, the Levites, the priests, the princes, doing the killing. This is the authority that they're basing why they can do what they're doing in the temple and Jesus can't. Their authority was their forefathers. And what did their fathers do? They killed God's authority. They beat them. They murdered them. So you see what Jesus has done here to the authority that they have in their genealogy? It's wicked. It's wicked. He's just shown them they come from a bunch of murderers. And they're getting ready to do just what their fathers did to the servants, the prophets, was to beat them and to kill them. And this was what the leader said in Matthew. Go with you, if you would, to Matthew 23:29. This is how you know this is what they were basing their authority on. Matthew 23:29. Bible says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell?" That's what they were basing their authority on. Their fathers. Murderers. Verse 37, Matthew 21, 37. "But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said amongst themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him. And let us seize on his inheritance." This is the heir. Notice, they never said that Jesus is the Son of God. They never said that this was the Son of David. They said this is the heir. What were the people saying when Jesus rode into Jerusalem? "Hosanna to the Son of David." That's what they were saying, Matthew 21:9. What were the children crying in the temple as Jesus was healing and teaching in there? The same thing. "Hosanna to the Son of David." And what did the chief priest want Jesus to do when he heard those children saying that? He wanted him to rebuke them. But he didn't. He didn't. He wanted him to give a rebuke. And when he didn't, they wanted to kill him. But they had already, why did they want to kill him? They had already taken counsel. You find this in John 11:47. Go there if you would. They already took counsel to kill him before he even walked in there, before anybody said anything. John 11:47. The Bible says, "Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council, and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation." And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, "Ye know nothing at all." That's funny. The old priest telling these guys, "You don't know nothing." What's he been teaching them? Right? "You know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself." Now some people say that the Holy Spirit is doing the speaking here. But, hey, could be a devil. You don't know. You don't know who's speaking here. But he's not speaking of himself. Bible says, "And this spake he not of himself, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied, that Jesus should die for that nation, or that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. The children of God is always a reference to the nation of Israel. Okay? You're a child of God if you're a Christian. The children of God are a people. It's a nation. Then from that day forth, then they took counsel together for to put him to death. Why? Why? Because the Romans shall come and take away their place. And so here you see the leaders, they were concerned about their place over that nation. And it looks like I said, the Holy Spirit is speaking, but I believe that the devil can prophesy too. Right? These leaders were concerned about their place over the nation. And so you go back to Matthew 21, the leaders saw that the common people, they believed. They're talking about Jesus being the son of David. Hosanna to the King, the son of David. And they're hearing these people believe this and talk about it. And if they let Jesus alone and they don't do anything to him, he will be the heir and he will sit on his father's throne, his father David's throne, like it's prophesied in the Bible, if they let him alone. And so he will be there. And so they said, come. Matthew 21. But when the husbands saw the son, they said unto amongst themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize on the inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably... Here's Jesus provoking the response from the parable. And here's the leaders giving the response to condemn themselves. They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their season. The fruits in their season. So they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. That's a picture of Jesus being taken out of the camp and killed. And then you find that Hebrews 13:12. And verse 40, you've got the parable that was designed to produce the response. Here's the Jesus provoking the response. And verse 41, the response condemning themselves. Verse 42 and 43, Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Jesus shows that the parable is about them. He says, ye, verse 43, therefore I say unto you, the kingdom shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Now, where does he say ye? Oh yeah, verse 42, he says, ye, did ye never read the Scriptures? And in verse 43, he says, therefore I say unto you. And so he's pointing this parable at them. Okay? Same context here. The heir is Jesus, the stone here in verse 43, or 42, is Jesus. The heir would be Jesus, right? The husbandmen are the builders that Jesus lent out his vineyard to. And in verse 43, Jesus is telling the leaders that they had right to the kingdom of God, but because they rejected the heir, they rejected the son, the head of the corner, that right to that kingdom of God is taken from the leaders, which represent the nation, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And the fruit will be repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus, and will be produced by a remnant in the tribulation, which will make up the nation of Israel in the millennium, where they will be given the kingdom of God and inherit the kingdom of heaven. We'll finish this up. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but whosoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, there it is, they perceived that he spake of them, but they, when they sought to lay hands on him, They feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. What did they fear? They feared losing authority over that multitude. That's what they feared. And so the issue that Jesus is pointing out is, hey, your authority is perverted. You have no authority in the temple. Jesus has the authority in the temple. He has the authority in our lives. And when somebody falls on that stone, they'll be broken, but they'll be saved. But if that stone falls on that person, it's going to destroy them. And we'll go ahead and stop there. Father in heaven, we thank you for your words, and we thank you for the account of these religious leaders, Lord, and how you show that the issue was authority with these people all along, and it's going to damn them, and they don't care. As long as they can keep control over the people for one more minute, and that's preventing them from the kingdom of God, is their own authority. That's perverted. And we thank you for this account, and we pray, Lord, that you would just help us and bless the services today. For Christ's sake, amen.